stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a center square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 78 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you have not checked out all the amazing things that we have going on across everything at South Harmon, you need to go find them all. The first place is the South Harmon YouTube. We have the South Harmon Dynasty YouTube channel, the Redraft channel, the Vibes channel, and we're doing all sorts of amazing things there, including giveaways and other awesome benefits to all of our members. In addition, we've got the South Harmon Patreon, where we have the Discord and everything that we have going on in terms of being a part of the South Harmon community. There's always a ton of people talking to each other, whether it's during the day, in the middle of the week, or on game day, where we're discussing immediate reactions to news or giving each other advice on what sort of things are important for your dynasty rosters. And last but not least, we have the South Harmon website. We've got the lab where you can take a look at all of your dynasty teams in one place and get an idea of how you're managing your rosters. We also have the Warp tool where you can get an idea of the settings of your league, and then also the simulator, which I will be talking about at some point here soon to talk about how I'm using it to make sure that I am setting my teams up properly for the playoffs. So make sure to go check all those things out, whether it's searching South Harmon on YouTube, South Harmon on your podcast feed, or going to southharmonff.com in order to check everything that we have going on. Now, before we get into this week's topic, I just want to go on a quick rant about something that I used this week, and that is the power of AI. AI is coming, and it's something that we need to be prepared for. And so it's important to understand where your content creators are utilizing it when they start to do so. So I used some AI in this week's analysis, and so I feel like I want to call out that, hey, this is something that is about to change the landscape of how you get data for fantasy football. In this case, I used AI to analyze some data about the projections of players and how many were there from weeks 1 to week 6 in terms of being the top X number of players at their position. So as an example, how many players were the top 24 running backs going into week 1? We're still top 24 running backs by the time you got to week 6. Those are the kinds of things that I ask AI, essentially to take off the load of having to code some of this up. It was able to perform that analysis for me, and I'm also able to kind of double check the data, just make sure it makes sense and those sorts of things. However, as part of this, I decided to ask the AI to give its feedback as I was doing this to see what it said. And I thought it was surprising how impressive its results were compared to the data when I was looking at it. So I'm going to be incorporating some of these results into what I'm talking to you about and tell you what the AI said and then kind of how I viewed the same data. I think it's something that we all need to be aware of, and I think this is a perfect opportunity to start wrapping our heads around what this changing landscape is going to look like. So the question that I asked was, from weeks 1 to week 6, in terms of going back to 2022 and comparing what it looked like in terms of our ability to predict the consistency of players over time in 2022 compared to now, and whether there's maybe changing landscapes in the NFL that we can try and pay attention to. So the first position to look at is the quarterback position. And the AI, it called this position volatile but solid. The reason it says this is because in 2022 and 2023, when you're looking at those top quarterbacks, the ones that are valuable to your team, in 2022 and 2023, there was a 75.7% and 80.7% consistency rate in terms of the projections in week 1 to week 6. However, when we've gotten to 2024 and 2025, those numbers have dropped. They've dropped to 67.3% and 68.9%. In my mind, what I see from this is I see a trend across the NFL of teams, in addition to having potentially a slightly higher number of injury rates for quarterbacks because we're asking them to run the football more and things like that, we're also seeing teams are less willing to hold on to those quarterbacks as long into the season, and they kind of want to see their guys earlier on. Look at the Giants, for example. The Giants, they went to Jackson Dart way earlier than I think anybody would have predicted if this was, say, 2021 or 2022. Going to Jackson Dart after only 3 games of Russell Wilson is very, very fast. And then they weren't the only team to do that. The Browns have switched to Dylan Gabriel after only seeing 4 weeks of Joe Flacco. Like, both of those are literally 2 points already that gives us a 6% boost just compared to previous seasons. Just having 2 teams willing to do that faster. Include a normal injury rate, and all of a sudden, that puts us where this quarterback number, without those 2 players, is right back up in that 75% number. So while the AI is looking at this saying, okay, that it's a volatile position, but you know, it's pretty solid, we're pretty good at predicting these, it doesn't even have the context of that we're even a little bit better because we're seeing these trends. We as a fantasy community understood pretty well that, hey, Russell Wilson, he's on the hot seat. If he doesn't look good, Jackson Dart's probably coming in pretty quick. Same thing goes with Joe Flacco in Cleveland. Like, we expected that he was probably going to get replaced by Dylan Gabriel if he was not winning games. But now we have the data to prove this, and we have the data to show that maybe we want to hold on to more of these backup quarterbacks, because they are going to be more likely to give us some starts, especially the high-value ones where you know that the starter is not in a good position in terms of standing with their team. The next position is running backs. The running backs, the AI labeled it as an improving trend. And I have to agree. The improving trend is really that we are seeing running backs not get as injured, and that we're doing a little bit better at predicting how teams are going to utilize them. The running back numbers over the past 4 years have gone from 56.6% to 55.7%, so down by 1%, but then in 2024, up to 62.9%, and so far in 2026, that running back correlation is up at 67.1%. So we are doing better, both in terms of having these running backs not get as hurt. I mean, last year was historical for top-tier running backs not getting hurt. But this year, we haven't had as many of those injuries either, especially at the tippy top of the position. Yeah, we've had James Conner go down, he's out for the year. Yeah, we've had Aaron Jones get an injury, and he's on IR for a little bit. But both of those guys were not absolute top-tier running backs. We haven't seen those top-tier injuries, and that was something that we didn't see last year either. This is a trend that maybe running backs, that those injury rates, they're looking a little bit different. Teams are protecting their running backs a little bit better. They aren't taking maybe as hard of hits because of those smaller, faster defenses as opposed to those big stopping defenses. As a result, these running backs having these top tier guys, or even just banking off of the projections, they are getting more accurate year over year. The tight ends, those ones are, the AI labeled them mixed and volatile. And I have to kind of agree, but I think it's just more of an element of the tight end position. So if you compare the four years, the correspond rates was 58.6%, 59.3%, 69.1% last year, and then we're at 60.1% this year. So something that's interesting, the AI also pointed out that 2024 spike of 69.1% was anomalous. It was something where last year, the fact that we had all of these tight ends who we were able to kind of accurately predict them much better than we were in previous years, that was an anomaly that does not appear to be carrying over this year. So what we can learn from that is, hey, we should not stick with our priors, and we should rely on the fact that, hey, the tight end position is normally pretty volatile. And so when we're looking at tight ends for this year, embrace the fact that we've got some weird variants going on. Jake Ferguson just caught a couple touchdowns for basically the first time in his career. Juwan Johnson is absolutely on a heater this season. We've got Jake Tongues coming out of nowhere to put up serviceable numbers at tight end. And we're looking at all of these tight ends and the top tier guys, there's not that many of them who are repeating year over year. All the way back in 2022, of the top six guys, we had three guys that were top six ranked going into week one that were still top six ranked in week six. We're down to two in 23, 24, and 25. And if you're looking at numbers further down, where, say, a top 18 tight end, are they still ranked top 18? That number is significantly higher for those tight ends in 2024. And so all the other years, they are at the same or similar numbers across the board. You can see a spike in those charts in terms of the consistency in that mid-range of the tight ends. But it goes back to normalcy at the very top and in the very bottom, outside of the range that we normally care about. So basically, 2025 is more of returning to the norm at the tight end position, as opposed to it being something crazy. It's just in context from previous years, it looks a little bit crazier because we're seeing some of these guys jump up into the tight end 6, tight end 7 that we did not have in previous years. And the last one is the wide receiver position. And what's really interesting is I'm going to start with what the AI said, because this was kind of a little bit behind my reasoning of wanting to look at this. And I think that the AI kind of summed up some of my gut feelings in basically three bullet points. The title of the wide receiver position is Concerning Decline. The data, it's falling year over year. 66.4% in 2022, 61.8% in 2023, 52.8% in 2024, and 46.9% in 2025. It's fallen 19.5 percentage points over 4 years. And this is the AI saying this. This is not me. I don't know that I 100% agree with this, but it kind of does feel like it. It said the wide receiver is becoming the least reliable position. It is the position that if you chose a player at the beginning of the year and said, I am going to ride this player, I'm going to have them in my lineup for the entire year, and they're going to be the guy that's there, and I'm not going to sub them out. It is the position that you are losing the most on. By the time you get to week six, those guys that you thought were going to be just fine starting are no longer the guys that you are going to be able to start at the rate that you want them to. They're not going to be putting up the points. They're not going to have the projections that you want on a week-to-week basis. And so what does this mean for our strategies? Well, it looks like what we're moving towards is that the running backs you can maybe start to invest a little bit more in. If they are truly staying healthier at a higher rate, yes, it is going to be harder to have all these backup running backs and sub them in when you need them. You aren't getting quite as many as you used to in previous years. The wide receivers, you can maybe get a little bit more of those closer to roster-clogging kinds of receivers, or play with some wide receivers off the waiver wire. Like, the number of guys that have become relevant this season, like how many people actually had Darius Slayton rostered. Well, he didn't play on Thursday night, but he's going to be one of the top wide receivers there in New York once he's healthy again. But even if you just go back to, like, Wandale Robinson, like, Wandale Robinson has been going crazy for the Giants because he's basically their number one wide receiver. If you're looking at the San Francisco 49ers, I mean, Kendrick Bourne went off last week. And the reason for that was because all the other 49ers wide receivers were hurt. And so if we're looking at this wide receiver position, you can find some other options that are off the waiver wire. You can find some guys that, hey, I can sub them in, and yeah, I might end up eating this week, kind of like if I'm playing in any quarterback on a two deep where I'm starting the backup quarterback strategy. But you're able to do that at a wide receiver position and go really light there to increase your chances of having those backup quarterbacks, having those backup running backs, where you are going to know when to start those players. The difference is we're starting to potentially figure out where these wide receivers, you're able to start them, those backups, and actually get points out of those guys as well. So that's kind of the changing landscape of the NFL. And so it means that you want to roster even less wide receivers, put in less overall value into that position, kind of funnel it to some other ones. And in my mind, especially if you're in a lineup league, I think this is going to continue to put even more and more power into those teams that can have those top tier quarterbacks. Those guys who are your Lamar Jacksons, your Jalen Hurts, your Jaden Daniels, those guys that can consistently score a ton of points and all you need is for them to be healthy. Those are the players that are going to dominate a lot of these lineup leagues, because I think these replacement level wide receivers that people used to rely on are all of a sudden becoming a lot more replaceable than they were previously. A lot more players are falling into that bucket. The running backs that they were that a lot of people relied on for, hey, I'm just going to build up this running back position over the course of the season. Well, it's maybe getting a little bit harder to do that. It's a little bit harder to have the right guys in order to plug into your lineup on a week-to-week basis, because A, more people are fighting for them, and B, there's not as many of them to go around. And then at the tight end position, it's kind of stayed the same over the last few years. But if you've been playing the tight ends don't matter strategy to begin with, then you aren't putting a lot in there either. So it really comes down to, do you have the correct top tier players? Can you get lucky there? And in 2025, you had a 1-in-6 shot of having a top 6 wide receiver in week 1 and them still being a top 6 wide receiver by projections by the time you got to week 6. That going down that drastically is huge. If you had a top 12 wide receiver, the odds that you have one still is 5 out of 12. That's not very good. Just in 2024, that was 50%. So 6 out of 12. The year before, it was 8 out of 12. So that's the changing landscape. These top-tier wide receivers that we all thought, oh, this is the guy that I want, this is the investment that I want to have, it's different. And it changes who that is for that year. And so we see that with Puka Nacua becoming the number one wide receiver on both Fantasy Calc and Keep Trade Cut. Everyone is adjusting, and we need to make sure that we're adjusting and finding those right holes in this market. Be the first one there. Understand that, hey, the changing landscape is that you need to dive on these top-tier wide receivers earlier, and the place that you want to park your value is either in draft picks to be able to trade for these players you need, or those top-tier quarterbacks, because those guys are still going to be reliable week in and week out. So that's it for the main topic this week. So I'm going to go really quick into a couple trade spams, not as many this week. Two of them based on the Giants and Eagles game. I actually had these written down beforehand, but I think especially after the game on Thursday, you should be able to get some of these done. Wandale Robinson, I was going to say you can get the go for a second from him. Well, after seeing his performance on Thursday night, you definitely should be able to get a second for him now. Just seeing how many passes he's catching from Jackson Dart, I think he's probably due in for a good season. And you can, if you're on a rebuilding team, you definitely want to take advantage of that now while you have this year of him being the number one wide receiver. The second guy is Cam Scataboo. He's somebody that I think that you should be able to go out and get a first-round pick for. He's a rookie, and he's playing his mind out right now. And so you should be able to go turn that pick. You probably spent a 204 to 206 on him this past draft season. I know I got a couple in that range. And just turn around and sell him to your league mates for a nice little profit. If you're competing and you want to hold on to him, great, that's fine. But if you're rebuilding, definitely try and get your first now, just in case anything happens. The last guy is Joe Flacco. This trade to the Bengals, he's going to be starting for the next quite a few number of weeks. And so with that, we want to make sure that we get our draft pick out from him right now. He's literally 40 years old. We don't know how much is longer for him. Just always make sure you turn that into liquidation when you've got your team, and try not to let him die on your roster unless you're getting the points out of him. Into the last segment of the week, we've got the Tight Ends Don't Matter segment. Last week, we had Jake Tongs, and we already talked about it. He had a good result for us because he played in the Thursday night game. It looks like George Kittle is likely to return for week 7, so we have our last week of Jake Tongs, and we can try and figure out whether it's worth jumping early. Our options for this week, from the waiver wire pod, it was mentioned Julian Hill, Albert O, and Gunnar Helm. But Gunnar Helm is rostered at 40th, so he's not eligible for us. He's likely rostered in your leagues. So our only other options to pivot to are Julian Hill and Albert Okwuegbunam. And Albert O, he had a good week, mostly because Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers were both hurt. And I don't want to rely on that for this week, knowing that Tongs is going to have another week as being the number one option there in San Francisco. And then Julian Hill, I'd like to see another week of him getting as many targets as he did. I thought it was kind of anomalous for him that he got 4 targets this past week. So as a result, I'm going to stick with Tongs one more week, and we will see what options we have for next week. Maybe it's one of those two guys that I mentioned. Maybe it will be somebody else. We'll have to see what we're looking like in week 7. That's everything that I have for this week. As always, make sure to check out everything we have going on at South Harmon. It's southharmonff.com, patreon.com/southharmon, on the South Harmon YouTube. Basically, search for South Harmon Fantasy Football wherever you can type into a search button and see what you can find. As always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.